American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And what do you know? It's Friday. It's a good day, and this is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Friday, as I said, April 8th, 2005. This is Newsreel, your source for independent media news that will give you the edge against core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. You can read all the news stories along with me if you care to follow along to find out what's going on in your world around you by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Sean is S-E-A-N. By the way, and you'll know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, thank God it's Friday. If you don't want to thank God it's Friday, you can thank Allah or Mohammed or, I don't know, some mullah type guy. Whatever you want to do, thank somebody because it is Friday and you have made it through another week. As a matter of fact, maybe you shouldn't thank anyone. Maybe you should just thank yourself or thank me because now it's because of Newsreel you're able to live through your life. Without Newsreel, you will perish. It is true. It is true. But in lieu of all these other things that could have gone wrong, in fact, you are still alive, still plodding forward. So thank you for staying alive, and thank you for downloading the show. This show, which you just downloaded, is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on the Rant Radio and the Box Music Network. And very soon, Sim says that this particular news broadcast will be soon syndicated, and that's S-I-N, to a bunch of other radio stations, which should be very, very cool. Until we get our syndication all spread out across the world, why does that sound like some kind of weird porno title, syndication? You are free to distribute this any way you see fit. It's guaranteed to make sure that your dog can stop having the runs if you just make them listen to Newsreel. As a matter of fact, we should go down to the pound right now and broadcast this out to all the poor little puppies on death row. Skipping past nothing, but moving right along to feedback, which is, you know, the section of the show where I talk about what the different things are that you have said to me. Dear Sean, I was listening to the past episode of Newsreel. No, really? And you mentioned Agent Orange briefly. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Agent Orange is the defoliant used in Vietnam. I have a family friend who went to Vietnam, and he has cancer. He remembers walking through the jungle as they sprayed Agent Orange on them. Oddly enough, one of all of the members of his unit that he still has contact with, only one doesn't have cancer. That's fucking crazy. And yet, I've heard that they still don't recognize that Agent Orange was the problem. I hate this shit. And that was from Lead Scorched. Well, you know, I really can't say as I'm that surprised. Because, of course, the government does not care about the soldier. Let me say that again. The government does not care about the ground soldier. The only reason why in that film Black Hawk Down, where they made a big deal about that Mike J. Durant, we won't leave you behind. The reason why is because everybody knows that in Vietnam, the U.S. reneged on a lot of cash, and so the Vietnamese kept the prisoners, and fuck them. The U.S. left United States citizens over in Vietnam to rot in tiger cages somewhere, which is really unbelievably shitty, but it's something that the U.S. did, and they want to try to get past that now, even though, I mean, there's probably still Americans locked in cages somewhere, but they don't give a shit. So, you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes, I guess. And I guess a bunch of people don't like my advice columns. That's really upsetting, you know, because I've got this advice column that I usually do in this portion of the show called Sort Yourself Out. And Sort Yourself Out is where you ask me advice, and I bequeath my server-bound advice to you, the Internet, which you can then, of course, promptly discard, throw it in the trash, and say, John, you're an idiot. But that's okay. It's okay. What matters is that you just get a little bit more data for which to base your opinion. So if you have any, you know, pertinent things in your life that, you know, are causing you problems, you're like, Sean, here I am thinking about going down to my local schoolyard, and I want to know what kind of ammo to pick. Well, you know, I will first discourage you from going to the schoolyard with the ammunition, but, you know, when push comes to shove, I can help you choose the right ammo. No, that's a terrible joke. I shouldn't make that joke. That's a horrible joke. It was a joke. Don't go shooting up at schoolyards. And a special hello to all my law enforcement brethren out there. Incidentally, all my law enforcement brethren, if you'd like to know some advice about how to bust people, you can ask me those questions too, and I'll answer any question you throw at me here on Sort Yourself Out. Moving straight into the news, we got a mecha sighting. Yes, the flying monkeys attack. Hardware, a homemade mecha walks in Japan. Well, I've seen the film, and I wouldn't really call it walking, but let's just get through this story here. Sakakibiri Kaikia, has pictures and even a movie of their Landwalker robot, Babelfish translation, which appears to work. Powered by a 250cc gas engine and armed with several guns, including two that fire Nerf-like balls, it stands a little over 3 meters, which makes one interesting is it actually armed and it is piloted instead of being an exoskeleton. Makes me wonder if the creators of shows like Robotech, comics, and RPGs like Battletech have any licensing rights on appearance. I'd like to see a Warhammer mech. So that's very cool. Very, very cool. I'm glad that, you know, there's something, but I've seen the video of this particular mecha. So when you go to the page, don't get too excited because it doesn't really walk. What it does is it kind of slides its feet along the ground and sort of rolls along. It's more to think of it more like a roller skating mecha is what I would say. So it's kind of cool, but, you know, I wouldn't get too excited. It looks very neat, but when you watch it actually move and stuff, it's a little bit unfulfilling. I don't think it'd be any good for off-road whatsoever, but there it is. It's a mecha. And at first when I saw it, I thought it was yet another gag, because now I'm all gun-shy after my April Fool's Day gag. So, you know, I was a little worried. But apparently it's not. Apparently the thing is legit. And if nothing else, hey, it'd be great for an airsoft game, especially if you had like a bunch of those on a runway or something like that and the guys had to get through them. Sounds like fun to me. And something else that sounds like fun is, now, Sim comes over. Whenever he comes over, of course, he brings over just, you know, massive amounts of data. Well, last time, well, not the last time, but one of the times recently that he came over, he brought me a DVD, which he, you know, because of Hunter's death and everything, he knows I'm a big Hunter fan. So we watched this documentary about that was made in the 70s about how he wanted to have this funeral and put this big fist with two thumbs on it. And it was just this just crazy, crazy monument he wanted to build for when he died. And he wanted to, you know, work towards this. And he made this film back in the 70s. Well, it looks like he's going to get his wish. Hunter's fist. The widow of Gonzo journalist Hunter S. Thompson has announced plans to fulfill the writer's long-cherished wish for an explosive tribute after his death. Anita Thompson said Tuesday that her late husband's ashes will be blasted from a cannon on their grounds of their Aspen area home sometime this August. It's expensive, but worth every penny, she says, Anita Thompson said. I'd like to have several explosions. He loved explosions. The 67-year-old Thompson shot himself February 20th. Some friends and family speculated that he planned his suicide in advance because of his declining health, which I say, you know, whatever, right to choose. The author of new journalism tomes like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas was reportedly suffering from a pain caused by a broken leg and a hip replacement. Yeah, them hips, you know, they go on you. The artillery send-off will be part of a larger public celebration of Thompson's life, many details of which were made to be worked out, Anita Thompson said. You know, I'd like to actually go to that. I think that'd be really cool to go down there and bring Sim and we'll tape that sucker. However, she revealed that the cannon itself will be attached to a 16-meter-high sculpture of the writer's Gonzo fist emblem, a clenched fist and forearm, and the fist has two thumbs, which itself will be mounted on a 30-meter-high pillar. So 90 feet in the air, okay, is this fist emblem. The entire structure will remain a permanent monument on the property. So it looks like, just like he said in the documentary back in the 70s, you can download it somewhere if you can find it, he's going to build it. She added that the planning for the tribute has been guided by Video Thompson and longtime friend Ralph Steadman recorded in the late 70s. And the two visited a Hollywood funeral home and began developing the canon scheme. So it looks like that's actually going to happen. I didn't think it would. But it looks like it is. And we got some more good news. While the United States of America is considering taking vitamins and making them prescription due to the Codex of Europe, it seems that UK, in the UK, the Codex regarding vitamins are, in fact, bullshit. Controversial? God damn it, I can't speak. It's the Scientologist. Controversial European Union laws limiting food supplements are seriously deficient. Creating a procedure with transparency of a black box should be annulled, an advisor to EU's top court said on Tuesday. Well, it's more the EU than the UK, but what the hell? I'll call it the UK. The stinging indictment of the EU rules on food supplements and vitamins, which opponents say could outlaw thousands of health food products, the European Court of Justice's Advocate General Lindert Gierlhold said they broke basic principles of EU law. Now, this is, I think anytime you try to regulate, essential food vitamins and minerals from people and try to make it so that only doctors can give you food, I think that's a little disturbing. The EU's 2002 directive will limit vitamin and mineral supplements to an approved list from August. Now, the thing is that this approved list of vitamin and mineral supplements, I mean, you can only get them in certain dosages. Echinacea and other herbs are no longer available. It's a really, really bad idea. Campaigners said the law could be based on scant scientific evidence, ban more than 5,000 products, including their main natural forms of vitamin E and several forms of vitamin C. Gone. Thanks. From the article, it says here, I must conclude that the EU legislature has seriously failed in its duty to design such a far-reaching measure with all due care. This is what Advocate General Gierhold wrote. The directive infringes on the principle of food proportionality because of the basic principles of EU law, such as the requirements for legal protection, of legal certainty, and of sound administration have not been taken into account. Now, you know what I find really amazing is that this, the way this guy speaks, I hope he doesn't talk like that in everyday life, because I never understand a single thing the guy says. Gielhode recommended the court rule the law was invalid, which I think is great, because if they rule that law invalid, that means it could affect us over here across the pond. The Alliance for Natural Health, one of three groups that originally brought the case in Britain, called the opinion tremendous news for the millions of people in Europe who choose to use food supplements, which it is tremendous news. That's great news. The court is not obliged to follow its Advocate General's opinions, but does so in 4 out of 5 cases, usually several months later. Now, here's hoping they do it, but of course, you know, the drug companies stand to make a lot of money if they make vitamins prescription, because then only the drug companies will be able to afford to put them through the rigmarole that makes them able to be sold. It's all a big money-making scam. Gielhold said the directive was seriously deficient because it did not give a norm for decisions to add supplements to the approved lists, did not make it clear if firms could submit substances for approval, and gave no clear procedure for any such submission. So, of course, it's basically saying that, wow, guess what? This is a money grab, a very, very bad money grab, and we don't like it. So hopefully they'll be able to get their shit in gear and sort that out. Now, France, which is a great country filled with nice people, seems to be sheltering some war criminals, and that's not a friendly thing to do. A Rwandan official has called for legal action against France over its alleged role in the 1994 genocide in Rwanda. Now, in case you are unaware of the 1994 genocide Rwanda, which I wouldn't be surprised if you are, unless, of course, you listen to the show often, but in Rwanda back in 1994, over a period of something like 30 days, or maybe it was even less than that, it was probably 10 days, one tribe totally rose up and slaughtered their neighbors, which was another tribe in Rwanda. And we're talking full-on, you know, hunting people in trucks, radio stations broadcasting their location. It was just genocide. It was a total genocide. The UN did nothing. Everybody stood back. This is where, you know, they just slaughtered people in schools. It was a horror show. It's a total horror show. And it was one of the great failures of the UN, probably one of the largest, if not the largest failure of the United Nations. Now, Aloys Matabingwa, a representative of the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, said the court had heard enough evidence of France's involvement. He said some 100 Rwandans wanted by the court or by Rwandan prosecutors were comfortably living in France. At least 800,000 people, mostly minorities, Tutsis, died in the massacres between April and July of 2004. April, May, June, July. So that's like 5 months there. French were individually and collectively responsible for allowing the massacre to unfold, he said. I would like to seize this opportunity to urge the United Nations and French government to make sure these people are put under investigation and prosecuted, he said at a press conference in Tanzania. The testimonies heard by this tribunal during the last 10 years are probably sufficient to indicate that there is some damning evidence, the French responsibilities AFP News agency reported him as saying. Some witnesses have claimed that French troops were involved in the training of Inter-Hamwe militias, which carried out most of the killing. So I guess it was the Inter-Hamwe versus the Tutsi, and they just fucking murdered all the Tutsis, and it was really bad. Like, there was bodies running downstream out of the country. There was so many dead. Quite literally, there were rivers that ran red with blood out of Rwanda. You should do some research on it. It's absolutely disturbing what happened there. And now they're trying. It takes 10 years. It was 1994. It's now like 2005, coming up pretty quick on 2006. And, you know, they're now just trying to get some justice out of that. It makes you wonder whether or not the court systems are worth a damn, eh? Doesn't it? I mean, if it takes 10 years to get any kind of justice, and meanwhile all these guys are living in France, you know, living it up, going to the Moulin Rouge, whatever the hell they're doing over there. You know, that kind of stuff is disturbing to me. I don't think that should be happening. I think we should have, kind of shrink down the prosecution time a little bit for things like war criminals. Don't you? Now, it seems like there's a smart kid who was suspended for, talking, essentially. All he was doing was letting people communicate. A Lewis and Clark High School sophomore brought internet freedom to his peers for 2 months with a website he called Bad Dog. So this guy makes a website, releases it to his peers, and calls it Bad Dog. Then the school put his dog in the pound, and his computer programming teacher was disciplined. Conrad Sykes, 16, created a website that bypassed the district's internet content filter, which is hampering student research, and you can't download porn with it, the student said. Sykes said he did this so students could access research sites, but also allowed students to visit adult sites and others that the school district intends to screen out. Oh no, don't let the kids see anything. Sykes said that Sykes' site was so successful that many Spokane public school students and people from as far away as Alabama and Pennsylvania used it thousands of times between December 14th and February 22nd. Sykes was even asked by his computer teacher, Wes Marburger, to make a presentation to other classes on the number of visitors to his website. The district filter is called BESS, and a dog is in the logo. So, of course, he called it Bad Dog was his site because he doesn't like Bessie. Poor Bad Bessie. Poof. At the end, Syke was suspended for 2 days in February for violating school computer use policies. Okay, that was what he was punished for. You were punished because you broke a stupid law. His teacher was given a written reprimand and removed from teaching computer classes. The State Office of Professional Practices is now investigating and could potentially take away Marburger's teaching certificate. So the kid just gets suspended for 2 days. He doesn't really get shit happening with him. But the computer teacher is going to get owned. He's going to get just absolutely shit kicked. And that's unfortunate because the guy's obviously loved by his students. He's obviously a decent computer teacher. If one of his students was able to bypass a content filter, holy shit. So I feel bad for the teacher out of this whole deal. But this is yet another example of stay in line. Don't stray from the norm. Don't do anything out of the ordinary, because, of course, we'll slap you for it. Nothing using initiative. Don't do anything. Don't think up anything. Don't step out of line. Don't do anything. Just do what we tell you, and that'll be it. And take your pills. And it seems that China, that wonderful country of China, has a mentat. Chinese mathematician Wang Xiong has decoded two initial cipher systems, MD5 and SHA-1, spotting loopholes in the latter. Now, I've heard about SHA-1 being broken before, but this is a little bit more mainstream here. Wang, aged 40, who wants Wang? Graduated from the mathematics department of Shandong University and currently serves under the Director of Information Safety Institute. Hang on. Serves as a director for the Information Safety Institute of Shandong University. Information Safety Institute. That's the kind of institutes they have in China. They have information safety. That's, you know, really, I don't think that information... Guns don't kill people. Information kills people. Professor Wang first declared her research results on MD5 at an international cryptography conference held in the United States in August 2004. Then in February, she made a breakthrough in spotting the loopholes in SHA-1, SHA-1. The two systems are widely used for digital signatures and e-commerce. Now, I guess this kind of fucks the whole guy's smarter thing. You know what I mean? There was that article that came out that said men are better in math and all that kind of jazz. Well, this mentat they got in China there, she seems to be pretty seriously, a female. Which is hot. You know, she's not bad looking for a chick her age. She's Chinese. She's kind of hot. And it also, I think, because you're looking at these cryptography You know, these are some serious algorithms they got on the go there. You know what I mean? Like, this is some heavy, heavy nosebleed math. This is big, fluffy hair math kind of stuff going on here. But it shows me how we really don't use our brains as much as probably we could, hey? Like, when you think about it, there's a lot of stuff that we don't use our mind for. We externalize a lot, we write everything down, but realistically, there's no reason why we should be relying on inferior things like Palm Pilots and stuff like that if we can just sculpt our minds to do all the work for us, because there's no question that the mind is a better computer than anything else that we can buy. So maybe we should be paying more attention on how to use that and get that up to speed. Just a thought. Just a thought. And we're going to be able to buy yourself some nice Killing Field souvenirs. Maybe a nice little hat with a skull on it, or a t-shirt with "I went to the Killing Fields and all I got was this silly t-shirt," you know, or a couple of mud sprays. Because a plan to privatize the Killing Fields Memorial near Phnom Penh has caused an outrage in Cambodia. Now, war crimes go on and on and on and on and on and on. And it's just absolutely terrifying that these go on in history, but it is important that we remember these things, because they are atrocities. They are horrors. They are things which mankind needs to know so that we can better ourselves in the future. But it seems that thousands of people who died at the Chiung Ek site during the Khmer Rouge rule in the late 70s, now that's all under Pol Pot, where he just started geeking people because they did things like wore glasses. I'm not joking. City authorities are on Tuesday due to sign a deal with the Japanese company to develop the site's tourist potential. Come to the Killing Fields. Around 17,000 people are buried in mass graves in this place. The skulls of around half are displayed behind glass panels on a Buddhist stupa at the site. Tourist buses regularly bump down the dirt track to the memorial, and it seems to be an attraction for the Japanese company called JC Royal. It has reached an agreement with Phnom Penh municipal authorities to manage Chiung Ek for the next 30 years. In return, the company will initially pay $15,000 a year to the city. The company plans to increase the admission charges by 600% and build a visitor center. Now, there's a lot of people upset about this. They don't think that, they should be having a core political move in there and set up a money-making scheme out of, you know, the Killing Field. You know what's next? We're going to have like an Auschwitz theme park? I mean, give me a break here, guys. Maybe you should just not privatize that. Maybe that should be kept kind of public because, well, once again, it's a war crime and atrocity. So I personally don't think that you should be making money on something like that. I would hereby declare that sick and weird. Speaking of which, this is probably the most disturbing story that you're going to hear all day long. And it scares the hell out of me. Now, yesterday I reported on how President Bush's brother, Jeb, who's going to be the next president of the United States after George is gone, I reported how he gave commendations to, gave them essentially props at a conference he did, where he's saying, "Thanks for all your help during the hurricane. You Scientologists are hurricane heroes." And, you know, it was very, very smiley. Luckily, all the Bush family is a bunch of screaming psycho Christians, which is good, you know, because I'll take a screaming psycho Christian over, you know, a conservative Scientologist any day of the week. However, it seems that Scientology is becoming more and more mainstream. And the reason why Scientology is succeeding in becoming more and more mainstream is that people are not discussing just how dangerous this cult really is. Now, listen to this. The days of secularism on campus have ended, as the university, with currently no religious affiliation, has decided to align itself with a spiritual order. The university will take on the role of America's first college officially affiliated with Scientology. Holy sweet mother of Jesus. An official announcement is expected from President David A. Caputo in early April as to whether or not the university will adopt a school religion. Caputo is held daily meetings, and he and the administration have finally reached a consensus. In a recent interview, one anonymous administration official said, "This thing's a go. We just need to clean up some red tape." Why don't you use some asparagus cans, and you can, like, you know, audit that whole thing and get all the thetans out of it, too. One question remains on students' minds. What religion will the university adopt? Oh, boy. A recent survey showed that 87% of the students thought the university would align itself with the principles of Christianity. And why not? America was founded on Christian principles, while the remaining percentages were split evenly among Judaism, Islam, and the mysterious sect of other. Dun, dun, dun. It's probably Wiccan. A subsequent survey found that 98% of PACE students were strongly opposed to official school religion, while the remaining 2% would be willing to consider the matter upon further evaluation. So 98% of PACE students were strongly opposed. That's because they're not really into the mud hut religions of the world. They'd rather have science and things that they could test, use as fact to, you know, it's kind of head forward with humanity. This is, after all, at a school of higher learning. You know what I mean? This is the place where you're supposed to go to learn about the universe and be taught things that are science and stuff. We wanted to go with something that wasn't conventional. Oh, I see. Yeah, because, you know, these universities are, especially in, where is this, Utah? Something that would separate us from all the other denominational schools around the country, Caputo said in an exclusive interview, adding, it took a lot of brainstorming and some arguing, but I think we've made a good choice. You thought wrong, Chief. I know this may come as a shock to a lot of students and faculty, but everyone needs to understand that Scientology is less like a religion in the traditional sense and more like a progressive, new-age way of living, Caputo explained. Yes, Caputo. Yes, Caputo. You will use your magic upon the schools to recruit more recruits, Caputo. Well done, Caputo. You will become uber-human soon. Okay, listen up. There is nothing positive about Scientology, not one goddamn thing. They claim up and down the block that there are things like Narconon and their site Narconon, which doesn't say it's Scientology, but sure as shit is, and their drug programs and rehab programs. I'll say it again, man. A little charity hides a multitude of sins. Just because the Nazis made the trains run on time, and incidentally, we're one of the most productive and effective governments in history, doesn't mean that it was a good government. It doesn't mean that it vindicates the sins that they commit. Now, the sins that Scientology commits far outweighs any benefit. Okay, I will take the Catholic Church on a bad day over Scientology. Shit, I'll take fundamental Islamic nuts over Scientology. I mean, shit, at least the fundamental Islamic nuts, you know, have the advantage of existing for several thousand years, whereas the Scientology, it has no endurance, and it's generally a money-making cult scam. You know, it's bad enough that universities have turned into a post-secondary nightmare designed to make money from the education industry, that now they're going to start poisoning kids' brains with this bullshit cult. It's disturbing to me, and of course they're going to go with it because all the Scientologists are going to send their kids to that school. So it just turns into yet another way to what? To make money. Oh, I love that shit. Now, following that, I got something I want to talk to you about. I'm going to need some help with this, and maybe a little bit of feedback would be appreciated from all you loyal listeners out there in the world. Now, I've got a paranormal alert here, which is going to be the eclipse, which is happening today on Friday here. Let me get through this story, and we'll get through this. Now, check this out. Sky washers. Those people who wash the sky. Sky watchers from the South Pacific to the Americas will witness the first solar eclipse of 2005 on Friday when the moon blots out part of the sun. It will be a partial eclipse rather than a total one in which the Earth is cast into darkness, but it will be the last partial solar eclipse visible from the continental United States until May 20th. When? 2012. Solar eclipses occur when the Earth, Sun, and Moon line up in such a way as the Moon casts a shadow over the Earth, for all of you who are too fucking stupid to know what an eclipse is. Friday's eclipse will last from a few minutes to over an hour, depending on one's location. In much of the United States, people will see what looks like the Moon taking a bite out of the Sun, with the bite bigger over the South. In Central America, the northern position of South America, the sun will be reduced to a narrow ring of fire. Astronomers warn people not to stare directly at the sun without eye protection because it'll burn your eyes the fuck out. Again, if you're dumb enough to do that, that sort of, you know, makes me go, whoa, that's not very cool at all. However, now, this has brought me to a point. Now, I run in occult circles. A lot of people may or may not know this, but I actually would consider myself an occultist, which is not a religious practice. It just means someone who is familiar with occult, meaning hidden. So I like to check out hidden things. Matter of fact, most conspiracy stuff, by definition, really could be considered occult because it is hidden, and that's all the word occult means. This is because, of course, the Mud Hut religions decided that all this ancient knowledge was bad, and so they started killing everyone and burning them and stuff because they knew how to use herbs. This is, you know, kind of one of the problems a lot of the Wiccans had with the Christian church and stuff, which, you know, It was a long time ago, but we're willing to let bygones be bygones. What the hell? Now, the thing is, though, the thing that's getting me a little bit more concerned is that, you know, I've done some research. Before, I used to always hunt the supernatural. When I was a kid, I used to love, you know, I watched Ghostbusters, and then I started learning about the occult and demons and monsters and vampires and all that kind of stuff, and I thought it was pretty cool. And you get cryptozoological sightings. These are sightings of creatures that shouldn't exist anymore, like dinosaurs or giant fish, Bigfoot, all that kind of stuff, sea monsters. That's all cryptozoological stuff. And that's pretty common now. You're getting a lot of, you know, these lost cities are showing up, crap like that. Then we've got technology running away from us where, you know, Moore's Law is doubling technology. There's guys talking about artificial intelligence and building godlike machines. There's a lot of crazy stuff coming down the pipe. And you've got to realize that at some point, we are not going to be able to maintain this pace. Now, if you combine this as well with the Aztec calendar, which, do some research on this, please. Like, I'd love for someone to tell me I'm full of shit on this. But according to the Aztec calendar, everything's supposed to take a dump in 2012. December 20th, I believe, or December 12th, or something like that, in 2012. But they're really sure it's 2012. Not only that, the Hindus believe it all comes to a grinding halt on 2012. Now, Aztec, Hindu. That's like the other side of the planet. The Chinese I Ching does a math anagram that ends time on 2012. Apparently, in astrology, it's supposed to be the end of the Iron Age or something like that in 2012. There's a lot of shit coming down the pipe for 2012. Very, very odd. So I'm wondering what the hell is going to happen in 2012. Now, I'm not saying I think the world's going to crack in half. I'm not saying that. But there's a lot of things going on, especially in the UFO section. I mean, do you realize how many UFO sightings there's been? Do you know how many people have seen UFOs? I bet you right now, you yourself has seen a UFO, or you know someone who's seen a UFO. They're everywhere. These goddamn things are all over the skies. And I may, you know, I sometimes before, I was joking a little bit, but now, you know, realistically, when you think of, like, we as a human race, according to science fiction, we're pretty much a bass-ackwards, nasty, mud race. You know, we're just horrible killer race here on this planet. We're savage, we're murdering each other, we haven't got any sense of unified peace, none of that shit. Which it could almost be considered that maybe humanity was all spread out all over the planet, and then, you know, the dominant species is supposed to kill everybody else and move along, but, you know, somewhere along the way, we've developed intelligence, which science is really not too sure what intelligence is anyway. But it would seem to me that we, in our childish style, you know, intelligence, have cooked up the Geneva Convention, which, although it's not worth the paper it's printed on, is sort of the guidelines for not being an asshole to your neighbor. That's sort of what the Geneva Convention is. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you and I were neighbors, and in the middle of the night I break into your house, drug you so you can't remember anything, rape you in the ass, cut open your wife, put an implant inside of her, and then fuck up your cat on the way outside, leaving him in a big scorched ball with no asshole or lips, that's not really a neighborly thing to do. As a matter of fact, I would say that I probably deserved, at the very least, a severe ass-kicking over that. If you showed up at my front lawn the next day going, hey, you nailed me in the keister, cut up my wife and my cat, so I'm here to redecorate the lawn with your guts. And I'd be, okay, that's cool. You know, because generally, doing something like that, correct me if I'm wrong, but that is an act of war. Beyond that, it at least shows a total disregard for human life, human freedom. So it seems to me that even if any of these abduction cases are true, they're never, ever positive. Then you get the wackos talking about how they quote Jesus to these aliens and the aliens fuck off. I'd like to see that applied a little bit more solid. But there's some scary shit going on with these little gray bastards. I don't know what's happening there. And maybe everything is coming to an end. Isn't it funny now how in the 1950s, nobody knew what aliens looked like? You know that? It was all like, you know, rah, 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 you know, everyone had big brains and sequin suits and all the rest. But now, when you see an alien, they're all grays. Everyone knows what aliens look like. It's like we've become slowly adapted to the fact that grays are cool and they're always, you know, peace signs. We like the grays. They're our friends. They're like our overseers. They're our masters, overlords. You see how that works? You see how that works? And a lot of people have said, well, you know, the government knows. Well, think about it. I personally have a theory regarding the whole Alien 2012 thing. I think that in 2012, the aliens are probably going to make themselves known. And they'll probably do it in such a way that they'll be saving the world. But there's a lot of things on this planet that other people might want, like the whole goddamn planet. Wars are fought over resources. Everything is based on consumption. So because of this, I want to start reporting more actual paranormal events. I don't mean the standard shit you see on 40 and Times that's tabloid news. But I want to start reporting sightings. I want to start reporting abductions. I want to start reporting the things that are going on in our world right now that no one's talking about. Massive sightings of alien craft have been seen over top of cities, and you don't know about it because nobody's talking about it. So if you can find some of that stuff, send it in to me. I want to start putting that on the air because I think this kind of information needs to get out. If it's bullshit, it's bullshit. But you know what? It's a hell of a lot more honest than a lot of the shit we get fed every day. I'd be more interested in seeing a giant flying triangle over the, you know, Atlanta rather than what Wacko Jacko's doing in the shower, okay? Come on now. You gotta give me on this one. I mean, this has got to be correct. There's something going on. And there's something to a lot of this, you know, 2012 shit that, you know, you want to know why I've got an AWOL bag? Well, that's one of the reasons. I ain't getting in no fucking saucer, thanks too much. I am not winding up on anybody's serviette. It's a cookbook. It's a cookbook. And you're allowed to web rip on the core politicals. A judgment has been made. A man could disparage a hair restoration company on a website using the company's name without violating copyright law. An appeals court ruled Monday. Now, this is very important because that means that we can rip on any core political. Mind you, they're going to sue us, but what the hell? It at least gives us some grounds because at least we have some sort of, you know, legal backing, some sort of precedent that was set. Bosley Medical Institute in Seattle sued former client Michael Kramer after he created a website in 2000 called Bald-Faced Effort to Get Even. With the ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said. Kramer, who had been unhappy with the outcome of his hair restoration, used the company's name and a website address, www.bosleymedical.com. Ooh, the company claimed the use of this name was a trademark infringement. But the appeals court disagreed, saying the website was not created to make a profit or to confuse Bosley customers and potential clients. True, there were no links on the site to other hair restoration providers, the court noted. Kramer's attorney, Paul Levy, said the decision is an important victory for free speech on the internet. It makes clear that consumers can use trade name for a company they want to criticize. This is huge. The appeals court, however, reinstated part of the lawsuit in which Bosley alleged that Kramer is violating the so-called cyber-squatting law by allegedly attempting to sell the site to Bosley in exchange for removing the disparaging material. How about you kiss my ass? Bosley's attorney did not return phone calls seeking a comment, but it has been stated now that we can, in fact, criticize core politicals on the web. Yet more freedom for us, and this is a good thing, and we have to fight for that freedom. Otherwise, you know what? We are going to lose it. And in the holy shit, what a shock news, I guess the FBI, because they just don't have enough power, they want more power. Send more power. FBI Director Robert Mueller on Tuesday asked lawmakers to expand the Bureau's ability to obtain records without first asking a judge. And he joined Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez in seeking that every temporary provision of the Anti-Terrorism Patriot Act be renewed. Well, that's why it's temporary. Means that it shouldn't be renewed because it's temporary. Now is not the time for us to be engaging in unilateral disarmament. Oh, it's never a good time for disarmament. Why should we de-escalate on the legal weapons now available for fighting terrorism? What terrorism, you shithead? There is no terrorism. The 9/11 attacks were faked. They were all done by Americans, but that's okay. You know, there's been lots of other terrorist attacks on soil. Let's go over the huge list of other terrorism attacks on American soil since 2001. Cricket. Well, there is no other one, so that's why. Gonzalez told his senators that he wanted to, now is not the time for us to be engaging in unilateral disarmament. Well, fuck all's happened in 5 years, guy. If now is not the time, when is the fucking time? What do you want, 10 years of, like, total media-propagated terror? He said that some of the most controversial provisions of the Patriot Act have proven invaluable in fighting terrorism and aiding other investigations. Have you had any in terrorist attacks? No? Well, that's because we're doing our job. It's important that these authorities remain available, Gonzalez told the Senate Judiciary Committee. I call bullshit on you. Mueller said sections of the law that allow intelligence law enforcement agencies to share information are especially important. Well, okay, I'm all cool with, like, law enforcement agencies being able to share information they already have. I'm just not really into them, you know, being able to search my house without talking to a judge and making, you know, the FBI like sort of a secret police organization that answers only to themselves. Much like, don't forget, Donald Rumsfeld has his own little secret police, you know, that are able to go about and answer only to Donald. But you never hear about them in the news. No, you never do. No, no, never, 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 never. Now, not to be too incredibly alertist here, but we've got some information on Plague Watch, on this thing called Marburg. Now, understand that 500 million people every year get malaria, and malaria is a motherfucker, okay? So before you start freaking out about, oh my god, the new virus is going to kill us all, remember, 500 million people get malaria every year, all right? But the World Health Organization, WHO, who incidentally is also corrupt and kind of an evil organization, says Marburg virus has sickened 140 people in Angola and killed 132, most of them young children. International health organizations are rushing personnel and equipment to the war-ravaged country to stem the epidemic. Still, WHO experts told the National Public Radio, NPR's Richard Knox, they expect Marburg toll to get much larger. Now, that's pretty significant when you got 130 dead. That's more than SARS, like, in one go. Marburg hemorrhagic fever isn't as much feared as its cousin, Ebola. Oh, great, it's related to Ebola. That's that shit from Outbreak. But, in fact, they're hard to tell apart. So, essentially, it's like Ebola 2. Clinically, they are associated with similar disease symptoms. But the two viruses do not cross-react antigenetically and are easily distinguishable by serology, RT-PCR, assay mode, CP. In both cases, okay, well, who gives a shit? They both do the same thing. In both cases, victims bleed to death, often out of every orifice and every organ. Wow. I want blood spewing from my eyes, nose, throat, and ass. Few infections are as deadly. Wow. That's why the WHO, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, Health Canada, and the medical aid group MSF, Medicine Sans Frontières, are rushing to Angola. Yeah, we wouldn't want this one to really get away from us. Dr. Mike Ryan, who's managing WHO's response from Geneva, said that the cases counted so far don't include victims who died outside hospitals. Some WHO experts expect a doubling of the current toll that would make this Angolan outbreak the largest Marburg epidemic ever. The largest almost of any Ebola outbreak. International workers and protective gear are just arriving, so Ryan said also that it will take time to show results. We're going to see further waves. Even the best of intentions, you're going to see at least two waves of transmissions before you start to gain control of the problem. Now, the thing is, though, how is this transmitted? Is this an airborne virus? Because if it is, that's a little frightening to me. And why are these viruses showing up in Africa? Why is it just showing up there? Why don't we get these things like breaking out in, like, say, southern Alabama? Why doesn't that shit happen? I'm just kind of curious about that. I'd like to know why that is. And diseases are scary. Diseases are very, very scary. If you want to see paranoia, like real paranoia, where people will shoot their neighbors, you declare half of a neighborhood infected with some weird infectious disease, and the other half of the neighborhood would turn on them like you would not believe, man, like jackals. They'll fall on each other like prey. It's terrifying to see what the fear of disease can do to people. Very, very scary. Now, another scary thing is, as we all know, in case you haven't been paying attention to the news, there's this really big war going on right now, and America is having a really hard time getting kids to go to war, because the kids, of course, are online, and they're realizing, whoa, this war we got going over there is, there's some ethical problems with it. Furthermore, it's a bad war. People are just standing around getting shot, blown up, lots of people getting hurt. It's a scary fucking deal. So now, who are the recruiters going after? Who, incidentally, recruiters are having a hell of a time. We're reporting on how they're having nervous breakdowns because they can't meet the quota. They're having emotional problems trying to recruit kids, blah, blah, blah. So now, what are they recruiting? They're going after the parents. The public relations push came as the Army and Marines, which absorbed the brunt of the casualties in Iraq, encounter one of the worst periods in recruitment in history. So they got some ideas on how to kind of overcome this lull in recruitment here. Among their initiatives to get more people, four new quote-unquote influencer TV ads by the Army aimed at moms, dads, coaches, and ministers. Send the kids to war. Send the kids to war. A decision to pair Army recruiters with Iraq and Afghanistan veterans on visits to the homes of potential recruits. The idea? Tell parents the Army story, says Army spokeswoman Lieutenant Colonel Pamela Hart. Tell the parents the Army story. the Army story? What the fuck is that? The Army story. Personally, if you got vets going to the homes telling kids they should go to war, and you can get vets to do that, like a bunch of vets and not just one vet who's all squirrely doing it for money or whatever, I mean, I guess there's nothing wrong with that. And there's a 9-minute video, Parents Speak, in which parents of Marines say the Corps has been good for their children. Of course, we want to get, I bet you they're the parents of Marines who are still alive, you know, versus the ones who are dead and blown up and stuff, or, you know, severely mutilated or wounded and all the rest of it. There's also a direct mail campaign by the Marines to parents of high school juniors and seniors. The Marines highlights the benefits of joining and ask for an opportunity to talk to the students' parents about a military career. Well, what about the students? The students don't want to join the Army, so they're going to try to get the parents to pressure the students to join the Army? Studies for the Army show parents are the top obstacle to recruiting. That's because they don't want their kids to die. It's kind of a funny thing, that. Opposition to military service is increasing sufficiently among both moms and dads. It says a study of 1,200 potential recruits from the firm Millward Brown. Okay, first of all, I'd like to know how Millward Brown found out that 1,200 parents don't want their kids dying. I mean, was that just a guess, or did you just, you know, did you actually have a team of monkeys working on that? Because I can I can tell you that there's a lot more people who don't want their kids to die in some shitty sandbox somewhere on the other side of the motherfucking planet, okay? It doesn't really take a huge amount of brain power to realize that, but that's okay. Another look at potential recruits by GFK Custom Research. Look at all these companies that are data mining, eh? Look at all these companies talking about whether or not children want to die in war. This is not the kind of things that I want to have filled out on a survey. Found that the biggest influences in candidates' decision to join were mothers, named by 81% of respondents, followed by fathers at 70%. So if they can get mothers to send their children to die in a war, they're doing pretty good. Now, I, of course, a lot of people say, Sean, didn't you just tell a kid how to get into the Army? Now, I'm about freedom. I'm about libertarian and freedom, and I am not anti-military. I am not really into this war, because, first of all, they're fighting the war with one hand tied around their nuts. It's a bad scene, this war they got going on over there, because it's a core political war. It's to protect core political interests, and there's people dying, soldiers, noble heroes, who are dying because they are ordered to, and I see it as a massive waste of human life. There are noble causes around the world that America could be involved with. There are democratic causes in South America. There are democratic causes in the Philippines. There's democratic causes in Africa where these people need help. Okay? There's people who need fucking help all over the world. But the only reason why we're in Iraq is for what? For what? It's for the oil companies. That's why we're there. We're there for oil. That's it. Cut the shit. And now because of it, you've gotten hardened people, Iraqi people, and Afghani people and all that. And you know, say what you like about the Iraqi people, but they are fucking tough. People who live in the desert are fucking tough, man. It's hard to live in a desert. Lots of rocks and trees, or no trees, lots of rocks and sand and there's really nothing out there. So these motherfuckers use market to survive. I mean, these people know all about how to survive, man. And you're going to take a bunch of kids who played video games and Nintendo and Sega and shit like that, dress them up in a Halloween costume and kick them out of the Blackhawk and expect them to stand up to some hardened suckers who've been fighting their entire lives? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. There should be no Marines on the ground in Iraq. They're there as a holding action, okay? They should have, like, generally, for the amount of experience that those people have over there, it should be, like, Rangers only. There should be no holding action. It should be all stick and move. There should be no one in threat's way. But, of course, you know, these guys are standing around like sore thumbs getting blown the fuck up by improvised munitions. They say they're bombs. These guys are getting bombed into the motherfucking Stone Age. And it's upsetting, and kids are dying, and it's a waste. So, yeah, if you can get the moms of the world to send their kids off to that war using mindshare through mass media, core political programming, well, good luck to you. But if I had a kid, I would not send him off to that war. Now, do I believe in the military? Yes. Do I think the Marines is a noble organization? Yes, I do. I totally do. I believe in the military. I do. And I support the troops more than you could possibly fucking know. But I support them because I do not want them to die in a shitty war for no good reason to protect Halliburton. That's just me. If they want to fucking get people killed, no problem. Let's send Blackwater in there, you know, and then we can charge them all with war crimes later when the atrocities committed by private military companies become mainstream knowledge. Let's try to find that out. Because right now, I don't think we should be sending America's and North America's defenders to go die in the desert to protect profits. That's, you know, maybe I'm way the fuck out of line here, but that's just me. Today's Daily Hack, we're getting to some free black ice protection because you can't even be online now without antivirus. On this page, you will find truly free antivirus software, free firewalls, free email protection software, free virus protection software, tests, antivirus programs, links to specialized antivirus sites, and information about virus prevention, useful evaluation versions of antivirus software, etc. Very, very important. Always make sure that you keep your virus gear up to date. And, of course, especially if you're doing stuff where, you know, you haven't got a lot of money, hey, why not have some free stuff. That's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back on Monday with Sim to get make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. We made it through another week, folks. Have a celebration. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight against the tyranny that exists today. Those noble people are Forley, Dave, The Grey Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, Brian, David, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, Art, Diremute, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, and Alan. And the reinforcements, the subscribers this month, new people who've decided to join in the fight were Druid Y. Simaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. And the Army of Flying Monkeys, the Recce element who brought you the news stories, are R.S. Puyallup Basement. Almost screwed that up there. Technology Freak, Pig Monkey, Mookie, Ricky Rocket, Madar, Lensman, Bonsai Poppy, Nuruk, Nighthawk, Sabo, Deadcode, and Media Implanted Idea. Now, if you would like to help keep this daily news podcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab so that we can keep information free and keep getting it out to you. Because I ask you, after this show goes off the air, what's left? What's the other alternative? There's not much left, guys. We got to keep pushing forwards. This is where Rant makes its last stand for freedom. Upcoming events, it seems that Dead in a Gutter, who's a nice guy, he sent me this letter saying, "Dear Sean, I'm trying to arrange a WOG gathering in Moncton, New Brunswick. It's going to be held on May 21st. If anyone has any questions, they can contact me in the IRC or in the WOG Coalition Forum. Could you mention it in the upcoming events as part of your show? Thanks." That's from Dead in the Gutter. So there's a WOG Booster Gang meeting happening in Moncton, New Brunswick. Make sure you head up there and check that out. You can get details on my LiveJournal site. And thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's newsreal, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, which really kicks ass, pick up the double limited edition album Demons of Hate by X-Fusion. Very, very cool. Kind of a industrial techno synth goth. Very, very cool. I'm going to leave you now with a deadly song from Assemblage 23 called Document. And it really sums out about how I feel about what it is that we and all the other prophets do here on, and I mean prophets in the traditional K-word sense. Anyone who does art, I'm sure, will appreciate this particular tune. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.